Of course, implementation of GST needed change in the constitution. And accordingly, the 122nd Amendment Bill was introduced in the parliament in 2014. The Lok Sabha passed it in 2015 and Rajya Sabha reviewed it and approved with amendments in 2016. It became 101st constitutional amendment, and which enabled the GST rollout from July 2017. Now, which are the taxes? As I was mentioning before, many of the taxes have got subsumed within the GST. So GST subsumed multiple indirect taxes, removed multiplicity of tax levies, reduced the cascading tax burden that I spoke little while ago, enabled seamless input credit chain. It facilitated free flow of goods and services within the states and interstate as well, created an integrated national tax system. Which are the central taxes that got subsumed in the GST? Number one is the central excise duty, also known as CENVET, additional excise duty, also known as AED, medicinal and toilet preparations duty, service tax, countervailing duty, and central surcharges and cesses. They all have got subsumed within the GST. Which are the state taxes subsumed within the GST? Number one is the VAT and the state sales tax, entertainment tax, luxury tax, lottery, betting and gambling taxes, octroi and entry tax, purchase and advertisement taxes. So these are the state level taxes which have got subsumed in the GST. Basic customs duty on import, as I mentioned in the beginning, basic customs duty on imports has been subsumed. Export duty on specified goods is also now part of the GST. Road and passenger transport taxes, oil toll tax as infrastructure user free. So they also have, some of them also have got subsumed in the within the GST. Salient features of GST. Friends, now let us quickly refresh our understanding as to what are the salient features of the GST. Number one, GST is applicable on supply of goods and services. Goods include all movable property, and that is what you must make note of it here, because goods will include only movable property and not immovable property. Now, what does it mean? It means in respect of the immovable property, GST is not applicable. And the immovable property will include crops, grass, and actionable claims. Excludes securities and money. So GST, the securities and money are not part of the GST. So GST is not applicable in case of securities and money. Services include activities for consideration, covers money use or conversion services. Structural features of GST. So as we have understood, that GST is a dual stage model. It has got CGST and SGST. There is a concurrent levy of central tax and the state tax. It is destination-based consumption tax. That means it is based on the consumption. Tax accrues to consuming state. That means where the goods or services are being consumed, tax would accrue in that state. Intra-state supply will be charged with CGST and SGST, and the interstate supply will be charged with the IGST. Tax coverage and levy mechanism. So GST is levied on all imports. On all imports, imports are treated as interstate supply. So imports are treated as interstate supply, and therefore IGST is applicable in case of the imports. Exports are treated as zero rated supply. So in case of exports, there is a zero duty zero rate duty, no GST charged on the exports, and SEZ supplies zero rated outward supply. So SEZ is special economic zones. And friends, remember, special economic zones are treated as a separate country by itself, or it is a location which is outside India. And therefore, supply is made from the domestic zone to the SEZ will be treated as export, and therefore they will be zero rated. And likewise, something coming from the SEZ to the domestic zone, in that case, IGST will be applicable. So purchases from SEZ would attract IGST. So friends, now let's talk about the input tax credit and compliance. In the case of GST tax per se. So number one, there is input tax credit allowed on the inputs. Number two, GST is computed on the invoice credit method. That means GST is computed on the invoice amount, basic amount of the invoice, basic amount of the goods or the services which are being sold or provided. There is seamless credit across supply chain. As I have explained to you, during the entire supply chain, the supplier will collect the GST from the customer, and this will keep on happening. And accordingly, there will be a seamless credit flow across the supply chain. Proper record maintenance is mandatory. Number one, they are to be maintained by the registered person. And these records are also getting maintained digitally on the GSTN portal. Records of tax paid and collected are required to be maintained, and it prevents the cascading tax burden that we have already discussed. As regards the infrastructure and IT infrastructure and the administration of the GST per se, so it is administered by the GST Council. It is the GST Council that would decide the rates and the policies. GST network provides the IT backbone. So there is a big organization which is known as GSTN, which is a Section 8 company. So this provides the IT backbone to the entire GST framework in this country. This network supports the registration and the return filing. So anybody who wants to register as a GST person, he can do so on this portal. And likewise, whenever he has to file any return, he can directly file those returns on the GST portal. It facilitates payment processing as well. So the registered person can make the payments directly through the portal, and it also ensures nationwide tax integration. Tax subsumed and coverage limit. So subsumed central excise and service tax, included VAT, luxury entry tax, integrated multiple indirect taxes, alcohol kept outside the GST ambit as it stands today, petroleum products presently excluded as it stands today, tobacco tax under the GST plus excise, that is, as tobacco is considered as a sin product, and therefore not only they have to pay GST, but they also have to pay excise duty. So what are the threshold and the composition and payments? So the threshold for a business entity to get registered under the GST law is 20 lakhs. In case of special category states, and the special category states would include all the northeastern and the hill states. So in respect of the northeastern hill states, the threshold is of 10 lakh of rupees for the registration, 40 lakhs for exclusive goods supplier. And there is also a provision of composition scheme for small taxpayers. So the small taxpayers do not have to be part of the regular GST framework and be in the process of the supply chain where they collect and they pay GST. Instead of that, they can opt for the composition scheme, and which is applicable only for the small taxpayers. And what they have to do is, based on their turnover, they can qualify. They are qualified as compensation scheme, and they pay the tax amount, which is on the lump sum basis. There are flat tax rate without ITC benefit in case of the compensation scheme, and digital payments mode is enabled in any case for the compensation schemes as well. So friends, let's now talk about rates, returns, and objectives of GST. There are multiple GST rate slabs applicable. Today, it is 0%, 5%, 12%, 18%, and 28%. Services are charged at the rate of 18%. There is a system of monthly tax payment by 20th of the following month, which is applicable to everyone, except for those who have opted for the compensation scheme. Quarterly option for the small taxpayer, as I have just mentioned, it eliminates the cascading tax effect, and GST per se promotes one nation, one tax. Compensation scheme of GST, let me elaborate a little more. So the compensation scheme is optional taxation scheme designed for small taxpayers. It is available to SSEs within the prescribed turnover limits, which generally, general eligibility threshold today is 1.5 CR. Lower threshold applicable for special category states. And remember, when I say special category states, it would mean the state in the northeastern part of this country. Introduced to reduce compliance and tax burden, which of course was very complex before the advent of GST in this country. It is simplified method of tax calculation and payment, which I have explained in my earlier presentation. So what are the eligibility and the turnover limits for someone to get registered as part of the GST? It is applicable to traders, manufacturers, and the small businessmen, service providers eligible up to 50 lakh turnover, aggregate turnover calculate on Pan India basis, registration under GST mandatory to opt in, alternative composition scheme up to 50 lakhs, prior intimation required for scheme selection. Taxes and return filing. Concessional GST rates prescribed under the composition scheme that we have just discussed. So in case of traders and the manufacturer, they will have to pay tax at the rate of 1%. The restaurant service providers will have to pay tax at the rate of 5%, and the other service providers will have to pay tax at the rate of 6%. They will have to do compulsorily quarterly return filing through the form CMP08, and besides the CMP08, they will also have to file annual return in GSTR4. Input tax credit and billing provisions. So let us understand now how does the input tax credit works and what are the billing provisions. As regards these composition scheme that we have just discussed, they are not eligible to claim input tax credit as the others would do. They cannot charge GST from their customers because they have opted for the composition scheme. Tax liability has to be paid from their own funds. So they do not collect tax from someone and pay to the government. Since they have opted for the composition scheme, they have to pay tax from their own pocket. Issue of tax invoice not permitted. Remember, they are part of the composition scheme, and therefore they cannot issue a tax invoice. Bill of supply is issued instead of the tax invoice by the entities, by the business organizations, which are registered under the composition scheme. HSN code disclosure not mandatory. And why HSN code disclosure not mandatory? Because they do not have to collect tax, they do not have to avail tax credit, and therefore there is no need for them to mention the HSN code. What are the restrictions under the composition scheme? Of course, the composition schemes gives certain benefits to the small businesses who opt for the composition scheme. It would mean that there are certain restrictions that they will need to comply with. So number one, the composition scheme. So anyone who is registered under the composition scheme, he will not be able to do interstate trade. That means he will not be able to sell goods outside or purchase goods from outside. He cannot do, or that business cannot do, export of goods or services. Supply through e-commerce is also restricted. It is not applicable to non-taxable goods. So in case of non-taxable goods, composition scheme is not applicable. Casual and non-resident taxpayer excluded. So what is a casual taxpayer? That means someone is starting a business for a small period and not, let's say he is taking part in an exhibition. So when somebody is taking part in an exhibition, he will be treated as a casual taxpayer. Now the casual taxpayer cannot opt for the composition scheme. Likewise, a non-resident taxpayer can also not opt for the composition scheme. Certain notified manufacturers are ineligible in any case. So let's say pan masala or ice cream or tobacco products manufacturers. Now these people are in any case outside the purview of composition scheme. That means such businesses cannot opt for the composition scheme. Compliance and operational conditions. Number one, maintenance of detailed tax records required, tax payable on total turnover value and not on the every transaction. It includes both taxable and exempt supplies. Mandatory display of scheme status. That means every document that has got that is issued in respect of GST will have to mention that this organization is registered under the composition scheme. There has to be a sound signboard in the business premises that would say that this business is registered under the composition scheme of the GST, and therefore it is only suitable for small business operations. Then friends, there is another alternative composition scheme as well. It was introduced from 1st April 2019. It is applicable only for intrastate supplies. Turnover ceiling is 50 lakhs. It has to apply to GSTIN under one pen. No input tax credit facility available in case of such composition schemes. Further simplification for the micro tax payers. Now friends, let's talk about the organization which runs the entire GST framework in this country, and that is the GST Council. So GST Council is the apex decision-making body for GST in India. It is responsible for GST implementation and administration. It was constituted under Article 279A of the Constitution of India. It came into existence on 12th September 2016. It established after 101st Constitutional Amendment, and it is a central forum for the center-state coordination. Composition of GST Council. So the GST Council would comprise of, number one, the Union Finance Minister, who is the chairperson, Union Minister of State Revenue Finance, he is the member, Finance or Taxation Minister from each state as a member, Vice Chairperson elected from the Council members, represents the cooperative federal structure. So the entire council represents the cooperative federal structure of this country. It ensures participation of all governments, central government as well as state governments. Recommendations. So what these GST Council would do, GST Council will make the recommendations and also the areas of decisions. It recommends the GST rates and the tax slabs. It decides exemption on goods and services. It determines threshold registration limit, 10 lakh, 20 lakh, 40 lakh, as the case may be, that we have discussed already. It frames place of supply principle. It suggests special rates during disasters, and it provides provisions for the special category states. decisions in the GST Council are taken by 3/4 majority. That means 75% vote should be in favor for any decision that has to be taken. There is a weighted voting system that is followed. Center holds 1/3 voting power. States hold 2/3 weightage. It ensures balance in fiscal decisions. So there is no domination of the center or of the states as far as the decision making is concerned in the GST Council. It promotes consensus-based governance. So there has to be a minimum 50% members required for the quorum. So if the GST Council meeting has to take place, 50% of the members must be present. A valid meeting requires prescribed presence. Mechanism for center-state dispute settlement. That means if there are any disputes between the center and the states, then GST Council is the mechanism for doing the dispute settle such dispute settlements. It also resolves interstate disputes. Procedural defects do not invalidate a decision. So in case there has been some procedural lapse, but the decision has been taken. Now this decision which has been taken will not be invalidated only because there was some procedural lapse. Continuity is ensured despite vacancies. So what are the powers and functions of the GST Council? Number one, recommend tax rates, exemptions, and thresholds. It frames GST laws and model procedures, decides IGST apportionment principle as to how the IGST which is collected, how it is to be distributed between the center and the states. It advises special provisions for the sectors and the states. It monitors nationwide GST implementation. So the GST implementation which has been happening in this country since 1st July 2017, the monitoring has been done of this implementation by the GST Council. It ensures uniformity in tax administration. The key decisions taken in GST Council meetings so far, number one is the threshold exemption limit of 20 lakhs. That means any business whose turnover is less than 20 lakhs does not have to register under the GST. Likewise, in case of the special category states, if the turnover is less than 10 lakhs, they do not have to register under the GST. A composition scheme limit is approved as 150 lakhs. And it also does the approval of GST rules on registration, returns, and the refunds. Draft rules for the invoice, debit and credit notes have been finalized by the GST Council. Tax incentive schemes shifted to reimbursement basis. Adoption of multi-slab GST rate structure has been decided by the GST Council. Compensation cess on luxury and sin goods is also decided by the GST Council. So friends, with this we come to the close of the first part of our session, and that is introduction to GST, Goods and Service Tax Act in this country. Thank you so much. Thank you.